We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you this morning?
I'm just doing wonderful.
I really like that green on you, that bluish green. You. That is one of my favorite colors.
Thank you.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Okay. I got the nod over there, so I think we're good to go, Miss Mary. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, we thank you for your presence here among us, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to completely take over this session, Lord. Lord, help us to speak what you would have us to speak, Lord, and help us to direct our thoughts, Lord, into the way that you would have us to do. Father, we just give you praise and we give you glory for your anointing, Lord. Your anointing is always on your word, Lord, and we just give you praise. We ask you to give people ears to hear, Lord, and we ask you, God, to cause those that need this message to tune in today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I did forget something. Yes. If you would like to be entered into winning the book for this month, the book for this month is A City on Our Knees by Toby Mack. All you have to do to be entered is like, share, and then comment done in the comments. Share the program, like and share the program, and then comment done in the comments. And we will get you on the list. And every time you share it and comment done, we will put a little mark by your name. And the one with the most marks at the end of the month on the 28th will be the receiver of the book. Okay. Now I really covered it all.
Yes.
For real this time.
Okay.
I really like your title. You always bring good food to this table. I'm excited. The reason for the season. I've got my notepad, yes, my pen, and my treasure.
Okay. Well, the reason for the season is actually, why do we do what we do? You know, instead of asking a question as my title, I just said the reason for the season, because we all have a reason for doing what we do. And the reasons that we do come out of attitudes and motivations. And so, anyway, what kind of an attitude do we have? And I would like to say that Jesus is always our example. And the reason that we live for the Lord or do whatever we do is, should be out of love. Amen. Out of love. Because Jesus first loved us. And He paid the ultimate price for our salvation on the cross, and he gave his all to be obedient to the will of the Father. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the Father. And so we likewise should lay down our life and our will and do what Jesus wants us to do, how he directs our lives. So we want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And one of the things that that is the will of the Father, everything we need to do, it comes out of being obedient. But one way was this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and it says, in everything, see, this is the will of the Father. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so, anyway, so that is the first will of the Father. You know, if you have an attitude of thanksgiving, then that colors everything that comes your way. You can either have a griping spirit, or you can have a thankful spirit. It's your choice. But you make your own life. You make your own day by the attitude that you have. And if you look at everything with a thankful attitude, it's going to be a much better day than if you go through it griping and complaining. And you have an effect on all the people around you. So, you know, that's another reason why we need to have a thankful attitude. It's because we affect so many people. And then in Philippians 1:11, it says, see, this is what we need to do. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. This should be our motivation. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the praise, unto the glory and praise of God. We want that to be our reason. We want to give glory to God. We want to give praise to God. You know, that needs to be the purpose of our life, that everything we do would be to glorify God. And then in John, the 9th chapter and verses 35 through 38, we're going to read that. John 9:35. Okay. There was a man that had come to Jesus, and Jesus had healed him. He was born blind. And so the Pharisees said, well, give glory to God because we don't know about this man that healed you. And the guy that had been prayed for said, well, he said, it's strange that you don't know why he is able to do what he does, because he said in verse 31, it says, now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, God hears him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind, he said. And so he said, if this man were not of God, He could do nothing. And so the Pharisees said to him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogue. So Jesus heard, in verse 35, where I said we were going to start, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" See, and this man didn't know. I mean, he had been born blind, and he didn't know. You know, this was the first time he even saw Jesus. And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And, you know, it's important for us to have a believing attitude, because we don't get anything if we don't believe. We don't believe it. He said, and Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And so that's what we need to do. Likewise, we need to say, "Lord, I believe you and I worship you." Okay. Now, there was another man. We're going to go now into Mark the 10th chapter and the 17th through the 23rd verse. And there was a man that came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And so, 10th chapter and the 17th verse. And it said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him in verse 18, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And then he said, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and defraud not." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all of these things I've observed from my youth." It said, and then, I like this verse, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He loves us all. But he loved him, and he said unto him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." That's what he says to all of us. We have to give it all. We have to give it all. Give everything that you have and come and follow me. And it says, this man was sad at that answer, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about him and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And his disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And so, you know, but this man, he wasn't willing to give his all, but Jesus says there's a reward for those who will serve me. And so we're going to look in verses 29 through 31 of that verse. And Jesus answered and said to his disciples, because Peter said, well, we've left all and we've followed you. We've laid everything down and we've followed you. And Jesus said to them, there is no man, here is the reward. There is no man that hath left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, he will have eternal life. But many there that are first shall be last, and the last first. And so, anyway, so Jesus said, those that lose their life shall be rewarded. And then, you know, Jesus was our example. He gave it all. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father. And so he is our example. And he is also the door of the sheep. And we're going to turn back to John 10. Okay, John 10, verses 1 through 5. Jesus is talking and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And then we're going to read verses 9. And Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we know that he did that. He went to the cross. And he gave it all. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. But he came. He's, in fact, before the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, but not my will, Father, yours be done. That's what we need to do. Not my will, Father, I give you my will. Your way is always best, Lord. You know what's best for me. And I trust you completely. And I give you my will. And I want to do what you want me to do. I lay down my plans for yours. Lay down my plans for yours. And so, and Jesus said, you know, that those that lose their life shall be rewarded. And he does. He rewards us. Okay. John 13. We're going to turn over here to John 13 and verses 12 through 16. And then we're going to go on down to verses 34 and 35 after we read 12 through 16. 12 through 16. Anyway, Jesus here, he was giving his disciples an object lesson, I guess you would call it. He was doing something that he knew that he was going to be going to the cross soon, and he wanted to leave a good example. He wanted to leave something for them to follow. So he said he started to wash their feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to let you wash my feet." And Jesus said, "Unless you let me wash my feet, your feet, you have no part in me." And Peter, he said, "Oh, wash me all over." You know, wash me all over. Not just my feet, Lord, but my head and my hands and every place. And Jesus said, it's okay, Peter. I just need to wash your feet. You know, your feet will be enough. And so, anyway, 12 through 16. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ought ye also to wash one another's feet." See, he was leaving an example. He said, "You do what I do. You know, do what I do. Do what you've seen me do." Jesus said, "I do what I've seen the Father do. I do what he shows me what he does, and I go do that." And I go do it. So he says, "You do what I do. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are you if you do them." And then in verses 34 and 35 over here, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you," Jesus said, "that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so we need to walk in love because God is love. Jesus exhibited love to everybody. Aren't you glad that even when we make a mistake, he doesn't throw us away? He doesn't throw us away. He just deals with us and shows us what we've done. And we can repent and say, "I'm sorry." So he is the example. So he says, "Do as I do. Love one another." You know? So our motivation that we do everything from should be out of love. Love for the Father, love for Jesus, and love for one another. You know, love for those that, especially those that are unlovable, you know, those that despitefully use you, you know, because they'll see your love for them. And they'll say, "How can they love me after I've done all I've done to them?" You know, "Hey, I don't know what they got, but I could sure use some of that." You know, it'll draw. Love always does. It always draws them. And so, anyway, now I want us to turn to Ephesians 1, and here is what Christ did for us. He gave us all of these things, what we have in Christ, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read chapter 1, we're going to read verses 2 through 14. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Where did I say I was going to read to? 16. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, I want to go through those verses. Here is what Christ did, what we have in Christ, what Christ did for us. First, in verse 2, he says, he gives us grace and peace. And in verses 3, he says, we are seated in heavenly places with him. And in verse 5, he said, unto the adoption as children of God, he said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. And so, and in verse 6, we are accepted in the Beloved. In verse 8, he gives us wisdom and prudence. In verse 9, we know the mystery of his will and his purpose for us. In verse 11, we have an inheritance. In verse 12, we are to be for the praise of his glory. In verse 13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in verse 14, we get the earnest of our inheritance. You know, and somebody one time I said, what is the earnest of our inheritance? And they said, you know, when you go buy a house, you have to put a down payment on. That's the earnest that holds that house for you. Nobody can take it out from underneath you. That holds that house for you. And so, see, with all of these things, when we come to Christ, here is what we get. Just right out of the, just in coming to the Lord, we get grace and peace. We are seated in heavenly places, far above all the principalities and powers of the devil. You know, we're seated with, we're seated right by Jesus. You know, we're heirs and joint heirs with him. Wow. To be elevated from a life of comparatively, the things of this earth compared to the riches of heaven. And I'm not talking about just money, but the riches of heaven include being with Jesus forever and being without the devil forever too. I tell you, that's a big one. You know, who wouldn't want to go there? So, so we are seated in heavenly places. We've got power and authority over him now. Because Jesus did that for us and he gave it to us. Seated in heavenly places. And we're adopted as children of the Most High God. Wow. So we come from this world of poverty compared to the riches of heaven. My goodness, what a trade. What a trade. And we didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus paid the total price. All we have to do is accept what he did for us. And then we have to dedicate our life to him. But who wouldn't want to? Amen. Who wouldn't want to after he did all that for us? He's not only saved our soul, but he took the stripes on his back for our healing. And he's promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He said, if you live for me, I'll meet. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on, where you're going to live, you know. He says, because I'll provide all those things, you know. We just have to live our life for him. And he gives us the grace and the strength and the power to do that. We don't do anything on our own. He gives everything to us. Everything. My goodness. How rich we are. And sometimes we don't even know it. We forget it. We forget how rich we are. We should give praise every day of our life. Continuously. And it should not be a sacrifice. It says continuously offer up a sacrifice of praise. But it shouldn't be a sacrifice. It should be a joy.
Amen.
A joy. And so, because we are accepted in the Beloved. I tell you, when I got a hold of that phrase, oh my goodness, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm adopted as a child of the Most High God. And so, anyway, and we have an inheritance in heaven where it won't fade away. And nobody can break through and steal it.
Amen.
It's reserved in heaven for us. We are the only one that can forfeit it if we stop following God.
Amen. Would now be a good time to take a break and take some prayer requests, Miss Mary?
Okay.